you can go back and you can listen to the message for Sunday school last week. We gave you the reasons why we're doing this, and I'll do it quickly with you. Is we are number one to train others how to teach others about the gospel of Jesus Christ and how to grow them in their walk with God. Our goal is to have everybody growing in their walk with God. Our goal should be to encourage people and enable people how to become more like Christ. Mr. Chambers gave out half sheets of paper to you. What's the half sheets of paper? They are the answers to your blanks. So I'm going to read them, but if you want to as you're following along, you can cross them off as you put them in there. So that way it makes it a little easier. That way I don't have to repeat myself over and over. Many of you know I don't speak that clearly all the time. So this will be helpful. Some of you can't hear and some of us can't speak right. So sometimes you might mix something. In the back of your book, they have all the answers. It's the same thing if week by week, if you wanted to fill them out and me just go through the lesson in the back of the book. I only gave you 1 week's worth of answers. Trying to figure out how to do that. I said, why do they give all the answers in the back of the book? That's for the people that are the disciplers, so that way they can have that. You don't tell the people you're discipling all the answers in the back of the book, but if they start looking through that, it's okay if they know the answers because they're still filling things out and you're still going through them. So each week, if you want to make it easier and just kind of fill it out as I'm teaching it, that's fine. If you like to fill it out ahead of time so that way you can just be going along with me, that is fine too. Whatever makes you happy, I'm going to have my answers filled out just because I'm the one that's teaching the class. And so there's a couple things. Number one is to help ground us that might not be that grounded. Sometimes people say, well, I don't need a discipleship class. I've been saved this long. Well, have you taught anybody else? Well, I don't know how to do that. I don't have a resource for that and all those different things. This right here would be a resource you can use to help teach and disciple other people. So those are ways. So number one, it encourages your faith, it builds your faith and strengthens your faith, but also it is a way to help you be prepared to help other people. And that's my hope and my goal is, number one, is to strengthen all of us and to have an understanding why we believe what we believe. And number two, so that way in the future, you can go through this with somebody else. You'll notice that the work is done for you and the work is just caring and showing and talking with people. And you're going to see all these different things. I do not know. The first lesson is the longest because we go over some introductory things. So I do not know how far we'll get today, but you'll understand a little bit about our discipleship course today. So I want to encourage you. I know most of you look like you got books, and I'm thankful for that. The tables do help with the books, make it go a little bit easier. So if you want to sit at a table, you're welcome to. If you don't, that's fine too. Okay, any questions before we get started? The first week is going to seem pretty basic, but once again, we're building the foundation from a new person who had just gotten saved and trying to teach him and grow them. And I want to kind of go over this with you so that way you know how to do this someday, because this is the way that Pastor Peace had done it and showed it and put your own special flair there. Obviously, there's the Word of God mixed all inside of it, but from the PowerPoint and also from your books, then we can... Let's scoot this down a little bit for Miss Sandy. Is that okay? You don't want... Okay. Wonderful. I don't know. I see Miss Sandy's chair and makes me want to, like, halfway through church, get down there and take a ride in it. That looks really cool. So I know how fast Mr. Armstrong's chair goes in the back. I can imagine that looks a little faster. So she tells me go ahead, but I haven't done it yet. So you got your follow along for the answers. I didn't know. I was thought about putting all the answers up there. I thought it'd be easier just to do that. If you miss something, then you can just go back later on in the back of the book to get it, because we will have to move fairly quickly. The first one is about the Word of God. These first two verses talked about last week why we should want to disciple others. You say, Pastor, why in the world would I even want to teach somebody else? Because that seems so foreign to some people. Some people think, okay, that's what they're supposed to get when they come in here and preaching, when they come in here teaching. And you know what? People need to be discipled. People need to be trained in the basics of the Word of God. Not only is the teaching important, but the fellowship is important. Someone coming alongside them and showing that they care, and someone taking the time to go through this with them, it's not easy. Getting a person to coming to church faithfully and doing what we talked about, that five-star Christian, about being faithful to church and about praying and Bible reading and giving and witnessing, getting somebody that does that in this day and culture is a very difficult thing unless they've been brought up. But one of the the ways that you have the opportunity to encourage a person and get a person to stay and be faithful is by going through a discipleship class so they understand what you believe and why you're passionate about it and why you love it. So when we talk about the Word of God, some of these things are probably not going to be new to you, but there's an excitement there that you're explaining your way and what you've been teaching and what you've been learning to another individual, to another person, so that way they can get excited about the things you're excited about. So the beginning part is an introduction. This is welcome to discipleship journey. Discipleship is an exciting process of growing in God's grace and in your relationship with your Savior. So once again, pretend as if this is somebody that's new and new for you, but grow in grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To me, that's a convicting verse because that is something that is written to first century Christians that are growing and that they're learning, they're facing hardships, they're facing torture. And he says, look, I want you to continue to grow. So being saved is not the whole point. Yes, it is the point of getting to heaven, but why did Christ save us? To grow. There is a process and growing in your relationship of God's grace and your relationship with him. Of course, you want to make sure the person's saved. So that's when you talk to someone, you want to make sure that they know Christ, they're saved and on the way to heaven. If you look on the right-hand side, it says, take a moment to hear each other's salvation testimony. The cool thing about having something written on the side means that they're reading it too, which means it's not going to feel awkward to ask them, hey, look, the book says, let's hear one another's testimony. This is when I got saved. You know, when did you get saved? And if there's a question about that and you hear that, then you'll have the opportunity to explain to them what the gospel says. But it's written there. So if you ignore it, they'll realize you're ignoring it, which some of the times you might feel led to ignore it. But we got to make sure that you say, I don't really feel comfortable easy. Nobody feels comfortable about sharing the gospel for the first time or second time. Discipleship is something that the devil does not want that person to be grounded. The devil does not want that person. He doesn't want you to grow. So he's going to do whatever he can to stop you from getting it. So the first blank is once a person is saved, discipleship is the process of learning what it means to follow Jesus in obedience and growth. So this is a process. So that's something we want to make sure that people understand. This is not something that's going to happen overnight. It's why we need to go through these things for 14 weeks and why we need to continue to build precept upon precept, important thing upon important thing. It is a process. So that's something that a person sitting across the room needs to help understand. Sometimes they look at you and think, you never sin. Well, if they live with you, they know that you sin. I mean, they look at you and it's like, well, you're a super Christian. You go to church 4 times a week or 3 times a week and you give. I don't know any of this stuff. It is a process. Yes, God can change people dramatically, or sometimes it happens slowly. John 8:31 says, then said Jesus to those disciples which believed on him, if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. So it's teaching them, here's the word of God. We're going to give you the word of God. If you want to continue in the word of God, then you're going to be a disciple. The second page says, simply put, a disciple is a committed follower of Jesus Christ. Thus, discipleship is learning what it means to follow Jesus fully. So this is a committed follower. Because sometimes they're going to go out and they're going to say, well, I got a friend that goes to church, you know, once a month, or I got my family member says that they're a Christian and they worship God at home. What does that mean? Well, discipleship, what we're trying to make you is a committed follower of Jesus Christ. It's not just something that we are looking to add somebody to our church, maybe hope to get some money out of, or maybe hope to get, that's not what we're trying to do here. What we're trying to do is we're trying to do what Christ told us to do by going, as says in Matthew 28:19-20, to teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I commanded you. So I know I'm supposed to do that. Well, do we? And most of the times the answer is no. So what is the resource in doing that? And that's what this resource is. And then it gives a guideline what the next 14 weeks are going to be about. So it kind of just tells them what they can expect to learn for the next 14 weeks. The first blank is scripture. We'll begin with learning a little bit about the Bible itself, who wrote it, how we know it is accurate, and why we believe it. So the first blank is scripture. Second blank, not only about scripture, is who God is. We'll cover the nature of God, understand who Jesus is, and how the Holy Spirit guides us in the Christian life. So it's who God is. God is the blank. And that's important. There's a lot of different false gods out there. There's a lot of different false Jesuses out there, false messiahs. Antichrist is what the Bible calls them. Next blank is not only going to learn about scripture and the God, we're also going to learn about Bible reading and prayer. Bible reading, and prayer. In these lessons, you'll learn more about God, how God speaks to us through the Bible, and how we communicate with Him through prayer. Next blank is Christian living. Christian living. As Christians, our lifestyle should point others to our God. This lesson covers the practical aspects of how that takes place. You know, it's teaching somebody how they're supposed to live as a Christian. I remember one time I had Miss Cora Langley was discipling somebody in the back, and one of the weeks I was playing with her kid that was there, and they still come to our church today, and they said to me, and he says, "I like discipleship better than I like regular church." And I didn't take that. I wasn't the pastor at the time. But I says, you want to know why? It's because you're learning the basics of what they teach out there. If you're grounded on that this is the Word of God, and this is why we should believe it, and this is who God is, it makes it all kind of fill in together. You know, sometimes people stop with Scripture and God and Word of God and prayer, but Christian living is something we're supposed to do. It's what's expected from the Word of God. The local church, that's another thing that's important. The local church. Discover why Jesus established the church, why it's so precious, and how and where you fit in here in this local body of believers, the local church. Next thing is financial stewardship, learning God's promises and principles for handling your finances with wisdom. And this is as we talked about last week. If you talked about that week one, people, because people are greedy, a filthy lucre, and because there's so many people out there today trying to get money out of people, and they're trying to charge to come to church. I had one of our widow ladies say to this morning, she said, "I got a question for you about something I heard on TV." I said, "Well, who were you listening to?" They said, "Joel Osteen." And I says, "I wouldn't listen to anything he said, or not biblically what he would say." And they said, "Why?" And I explained to her that, you know, he doesn't preach on sin, and it's, you can't get saved unless you know that you're a sinner. Now, is he he has great stories. He's very eloquent. He's got a great smile. He could find a lot of positive things to say, but I don't think what he's doing is preaching. It's more of a self-help talking. And if he's saying that this is a way a person can get saved, that would make him someone who's not preaching and teaching the Word of God. And so they had a question about something simple. Why did they say it was a colt instead of a donkey? And I thought they were going to ask some type of doctrinal question. I says, he uses probably the wrong version of the Bible. When he uses the Bible, he uses the wrong version of it. And she said, but different times, different people in the Bible use different words. And he says, well, he also said this and this. And of course, you know, the wood ladies are back there, so they all chime in their opinions too. They said, "Well, I was just listening to see what he was like. I knew it wasn't something I was supposed to. I was just listening to see what," I said, "that's what a local church is there for, to help you, to ground you. That's what importance of a local church and not a mega church that streams things. There should be a local church. There should be fellowship, and there should be friendship, and there should be a pastor of a local church." So it's important that when discipleship, people are going to have questions, and we don't turn around and say, "Man, you're really stupid, you know, for listening to that person." You talk to them. You tell them, this is why people like to listen to him, but this is why I think there's something wrong with what he says. And I says, "I remember reading interviews where he said this, this, and this, and we disagree with this because this and this and this. And if we can't trust him with this, how can we trust him with other spiritual things?" Let's keep on going. The next thing is financial stewardship. It's living according to the Bible, God's way. You know, God's way for finances and money. What is that? That's the best way. So even though it might be something somebody's a little bit apprehensive about, that's why you don't do that week one. You go down there. By this point in time, they know you love them. You care for them. You say, "Hey, look, this is how God has blessed me. This is what the Bible says about money." That's the way you present it. This is, we want to give you an opportunity. Next thing is witnessing to others. Learn how to share your faith with those who do not know the Lord, and how to become a disciple, or helping those become grounded in God's Word. So once again, these are things that are being taught, witnessing. And so there's 14 weeks of that. Next thing is what you can expect. So you tell the people out front, "Yeah, this is what we expect from you. This is what I'm asking from you." I know this is easier for you because you're scheduled and you come to the Sunday school class, but when we go through this journey, don't take a week off, and don't, you know, no, no, no. Take it and make a commitment here. Meeting one-on-one with another Christian who knows and loves the Lord is an opportunity to have a personal mentor who desires to be able to help you both in and outside of discipleship times. So when you sign up to say, hey, I'm going to help disciple somebody, you're making a commitment to them. I'm going to be here for you. I'm going to be here every week. We're going to schedule this time. And also, if you need something, I'm willing to try to help you any way I can. Now that you've made that commitment, I want you to make a commitment to me. Next thing is your discipler is there to come alongside you. So that word is discipler, D-I-S-C-I-P-L-E-R. The dictionary says that's not a word. I guess it's only in churches, but it's a discipler. It is there to come alongside you and teach you from the Bible what it means to be a committed follower of Jesus Christ. Discipleship is also an awesome opportunity to ask questions as you study God's word, and your discipler is able to help you find the answers. I think those are good things. Like I said, I'm thankful that that widow lady asked me that question. I'm thankful I had the opportunity, but sometimes people don't feel comfortable coming up and talking to a pastor or a preacher because if they think you don't sin, boy, they think I never ever sin. And I know that's a lie. So it's a word, the blank is discipler. And so somebody that can ask questions and give you answers. Wouldn't that have been good to have when you were a young Christian? I'm thankful for the people I had. Next word in the blank is grounded. Grounded. Sort of like what we do to our kids. We ground them. They are grounded. G-R-O-U-N-D-E-D. In each week discipleship meeting, you'll learn an important truth for the Christian life from the Bible and then have the opportunity to apply it to your life through short assignments. Additionally, you are provided with 5 daily devotional readings each week that will help you become grounded in God's word and further apply the truths from the previous lesson. So at the end of this, they don't just say go home. They actually give them 5 devotionals to read. It gives them a memory verse to memorize. It also gives them some questions to answer. And, you know, say, well, 5. Well, one of them is Sunday. That's the reason why they don't do it that day. The other 5 and this last day gives them a chance if they missed. It also gives them an assignment and a chance to do that. You'll see that at the end of this lesson. What you should commit. They're asking, we ask you to begin discipleship course as a serious commitment in the following ways. A commitment to meet every week. So the words every week to finish the course. So if you're saying, hey, look, I'm going to take my time to do this, will you commit to helping me with this? And they say, well, I'm not sure. Well, let's start off with the first week. And then after the first week, try to get a commitment. There are 14 lessons in this course, so it's about a 4-month commitment. It's important that you are committed to meeting each week until you have finished the lessons. Now, there are things that are going to come up, and it's tough. You want to try to put it on a weekly basis, but there are things that are going to come up in someone's life. You have to be flexible, but you want to do your best. Hey, you can't make it this Wednesday. Hey, why don't we meet for coffee or something and do the week on another day? Because that way they can stay on track with the 5 lessons and all those other things. A commitment to regular church attendance. Next word is attendance. One of the most significant ways that God strengthens our faith is through the preaching of God's word. Discipleship is an exciting time to study the Bible, but it can never be a substitute for attending the regular preaching services of our church. I think it's great when they have you go to someone's house and disciple. I think it's even better when you come to a Sunday school time or a Wednesday night time when they probably normally wouldn't come to church. Why is that? Because they've gotten used to coming to church during Sunday school hour and they've gotten used to coming to church on a Wednesday night. And if God's working on their hearts and God's working on their minds, when this is over, they just go right into a designated Sunday school class or they just go right to continuing to a Wednesday night program. Sunday school and Wednesday night also gives them childcare, which is important because it's hard to disciple somebody when the kids are running around the house, when you're taking care of. But in Sunday school, they got Sunday school for all ages, and we also have Wednesday night programs for all ages. Next one, assignments. A commitment to complete the assignments. Each lesson has assignments for you to work through during the week. These are in the form of 5 daily readings or questions for you to answer. We pray these assignments are the beginning of a daily time in God's word for you, even after you complete discipleship. So assignments. You say, why is that important? Well, once again, if you do this, these 14 weeks, you can say, when I went through this course, I did my assignments every single day. Now, you don't want to lie to them, so you want to make sure you're doing the assignments, and it's also a good thing to do it along with them. So that way you can, if they have questions about the different readings, if they have questions about the different devotions, that's something that you can do. And when they're listening, looking to for you to quote a verse, then to quote a verse, you quote the verse first. I know Bible memorization is hard for some of you, for many of us, but it's something that they're familiar verses that you may already have in your mind, but God can help you with it. So it says, welcome to an incredible journey. And the first part is we're going to talk about the Word of God. And so there's a lot of different things here in the Word of God. If you notice, when we come to a scripture that is not written out, you'll see that some of the scripture is not written out. We're going to put it on the board. The reason why they do that is so they can look it up and read the scriptures for the Bible together. And you give them the chance to look up inside the concordance, find out where 2 Timothy is, turn to 2 Timothy, help them with that so they can get used to using their Bible. So the next blank is the word Bible. We begin our journey about the book that will be our guide through the course. In fact, through our entire Christian life, which is the Bible. In this lesson, we'll learn some of the most important truths related to the Bible, who wrote it, why we believe it, and what impact it has on our daily living. The next couple blanks that you're going to see here are going to be like, well, I already know this. You might know this because you've been in church for how long? But this is something that can help understand and teach somebody. And people like to act like they know it because they don't want to look dumb or stupid. But many times you would say that a lot of these things are not things that are common knowledge, especially for a new believer. So the next blank, it contains 66 books. 66 is the answer there, the number 66. It's divided into two sections, the Old Testament and New Testament. And teaching someone that the importance of a little bit of a difference, what they are. The Old Testament was recorded, the word is before Jesus came to earth. So the Old Testament was recorded before Jesus came to earth. The next one is the word New Testament tells us about when Jesus was on earth and the spread of the gospel throughout the first century churches after he returned to heaven. So we got the word New is the last, next one there. Let's turn our pages. The Bible is not arranged in a chronological order. A lot of Christians don't know that. It's something you learn, you teach them. It makes sense to them when they're reading their Bible, when they talk about other things that happen. But according to subjects, there are groupings of books on history, literature, prophets, gospels, and epistles. Use the table of contents in the front of your Bible to help you find passages until you become familiar enough with the order of the books that you can find them on your own. So it's teaching them, this is important. Here's the reason. We want you to be able to find the moment. So when you come to the spot, okay, it's in 2 Timothy 3:16, they'll look and teach them how to look up passages of scriptures. So then it begins to describe the importance of the Bible. And once again, if we can ground somebody what we believe about the Bible, then you can build upon a foundation. But if they don't believe that the Word of God is truly the Word of God, and they believe that it could have mistakes, what foundation are you building upon? The foundation is so important and so key. It's the Word of God. Can we trust it? Can we believe in it? And the answer is yes. God is the sole author of the Bible. A-U-T-H-O-R, author. There are two words we use to describe how God got the Bible to man. And those two words, the next two blank, is revelation and inspiration. Now, it doesn't go into a huge discussion about the revelation and inspiration, because right here, right now, this our argument or our concern is not about the Bible translation. We are going to be taught, it is going to use the words that they use the King James Bible here at our church. And that is something that's important, it's something that's valuable, but when you're grounding somebody, it's a way to teach it and introduce that even later on to show why we believe what the King James Bible is and why we can trust in it. Revelation is this is God communicating previously unknown truth. They're revealing something. He's revealing something to you that was unknown. Inspiration, this is God having his truth recorded. God has revealed himself to man in many ways, including through creation, our conscience, and history. We'll look at these in our next lesson. But the clearest way he has revealed himself is through the pages of Scripture. Through the pages of Scripture. And then you see where it says 2 Peter 1:19-21. This is when you would have the disciple to look up the words. You guys look it up together. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well that you take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, unto the day dawn and the day star rise in your heart. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the scripture is of any private interpretation, for a prophecy came now in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Now, some of us might know that last verse, and we say, okay, that makes sense to us. The other people that are new, they need to explain, and they do that a little bit here. In this passage, the Apostle Peter, who saw Jesus in his glorified state, explains that the word of God is a more sure word of prophecy. In other words, by having God's revelation of himself written, the next blank is written for us in black and white, we know it's true and that we can depend upon it. Instead of it being something that is a passed down just from people speaking, it has been written. God has written his word down, because sometimes when people says things, they can mix it up. Peter also describes the process by which God recorded the Bible. Let us break this verse down. The Bible did not originate with humans. The next one, humans. You see where it says it, and it says, came not by the will of man. You can show them the Bible where it says that it came not by the will of man. So it's something you should. The humans, I've heard, you know, more than one person tell me in life, you know what, man wrote that book, and since man wrote that book and man is a sinner, then it can't be, it's got to be wrong in certain spots. And this is where you can help them understand. This is why we believe the Bible is true. This is why we can have faith in the word of God and to have faith in his promises. Next thing is, when men of God recorded the words of the Bible, it says, holy men of God spake. So they recorded the words of the Bible. They recorded them. Next blank is, God is the author of the Bible, as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. So you're explaining to them what the word inspiration means, which is the next thing. So that there was not by humans, God was the author. He has recorded this down in black and white. The Bible word for this process is inspiration. And then you have another verse for them to look up to try to help explain this to them. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. So that's when you come to this spot and you say the word, now what does that say? This is all. That means from the beginning to the end. You say, well, what about, and you say, we're going to get to that in a little while. You know, the reason why we believe how God has preserved his word. These are important truths that build our faith and strengthen us and say, you know what? I can trust in the Bible because he inspired it. He's revealed it to men. He's recorded it. God is the author. It's not man. God used humans to pen it, to record it for him. And that's what he says in 2 Timothy 3:16, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. What Bible inspiration is not? The word is not. Some people might say, well, the word inspiration, that's, I've heard of that before. And he even answers that. It says, sometimes we use the word inspiration to refer to an idea or the motivation to do something, creative or artistic. For instance, we might say Michelangelo was inspired to paint the ceiling of the Sistine Chapel, or Shakespeare was inspired as he wrote Romeo and Juliet. That's not the inspiration we're referring to. What Bible inspiration is, so the word is, I-S. There is another definition for inspiration that we don't use often. It is the drawing of air into one's lungs. It's inhaling. This is the inspiration spoken of in 2 Timothy 3:16. The phrase given by inspiration of God literally means God breathed. That's your next words. God breathed. In other words, God breathed the words of the Bible to human penmen who wrote them down. God breathed the words of the Bible to human penmen who wrote them down. Next blank is, because of these two truths, revelation and inspiration, the Bible is literally the word of God. It is God's word to us. It is God's word to us. It's literally the word of God. Jesus himself specifically stated that the word, God's word was divinely inspired by God. And you look back here at Matthew 4:4, but he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. You know, does man talk to God like that? No. He did sometimes. And he does speak to our hearts, but out of the mouth of God, we have that recorded. Let's go over a couple of different blanks, and we're going to skip ahead here because we're not going to finish it all. Matt, it says the Bible is the most amazing book of all time. He begins to explain God used more than 40 different men from a variety of backgrounds in a time span of 1,500 years to record each word. So the first blank is 40. The next blank is 1,500. The writing took place on three different continents, Africa, Asia, and Europe, and in three different languages, Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek. So the next two blanks was three. Then he, once again, it's teaching them and encouraging them. Yet the entire book completely agrees and has been validated time and again by history, archaeology, and science. And this is stuff that you can show them. And so you can give examples of that, but it teaches them that, you know, history agrees with it, archaeology agrees with it, science agrees with it. If it doesn't agree with it, then it's wrong. Not the Bible, the science. If you ask 10 contemporary authors to individually write their viewpoint on just one controversial subject, you would come up with a wider range of conflicting opinions, and yet the Bible covers hundreds of controversial subjects by many different writers, and the entire book agrees. There can be only one reason for this. The Bible has to have just one author, and that is God. So this is a good way to present it. Now, what I just did with you was not hard. It was not difficult, especially if you're sitting next across from somebody and just talking to somebody about it and just going through that with them. Is something that takes a little bit of a commitment, but it's something as a mature Christian, it should be something you can do. You say, well, what, you know, but you say, why do I need it? Well, have we been doing it? So this gives you it enables you. So I want you to take your page, go ahead and go to page number 14, page 14. So next week we're going to look at the pages, finish pages 7 through 13. Now, the first week might take 2 weeks, and you want to try to get your best and make, say, the first session might be a little bit longer, so that way you don't have to break it up so they can always stay on pace. Gives you an assignment there on page 14. Write 2 Timothy 3:16 in the space below and plan to memorize this verse so you can quote it to your discipler. Also explains that there's 5 daily readings throughout the coming week, including answering the question of the one day five. These questions are where you will pick up with the discipleship meeting next week. Choose one of the 3 Bible reading plans. So you go to page 15, in page 16, you got daily devotions. Page 17, page 19, day 3, you go through there. And it takes you about 5 to 7 minutes to read these things. So you don't have it? Oh, sorry, somebody says them. Page 21, you got day 4. Page 23, you got day 5. So there's your week 1 to fill out those things and read it. Do this with us. Go through this and, you know, take these daily reads. I'm going to read one each day. I'm going to make the commitment. I have never read through all the whole entire book, so I'm going to read through. I have not read through all the daily devotions, every single one of them. So I'm going to go through this with you so we can be going through this together. But that way, when you're doing this with somebody else, you can say, hey, I'm going to go through this with you. Or when I went through this, I did that. So let's finish with just a couple thoughts. You know, this is really a key to help somebody. Sometimes we look at somebody who's a young Christian and you're looking at them and saying, I don't really know how I can help that person. Or someone who might not even understand your faith. You can go to a son or a daughter or a grandchild that you're concerned about and say, would you mind learning a little bit about what I think about the Bible and try to help teach them that way? Or someone who isn't grounded, or doing a Bible study with someone who thinks that they're a mature believer but really doesn't have the grounding that they need. Hey, we're going through this study. Will you do this with me? I want to do this with somebody. Those type of things to try to practice on somebody. But when you're practicing on somebody, you can be growing them and teaching them and helping them. Sometimes people are intimidated, or they think that we think they're dumb because we want them to go through discipleship. And that's not the case at all. It's something that we all need, and something that would be a positive thing. And like I said, we bought a lot of the books at a really discounted price on purpose, the hope that we can use this and help this, and even people in the church. Now, if you're going to try to disciple someone in the church, I'd like for you to come talk to me about, you know, who it is, because we might have other people that are working on it and doing it. And you say, well, you're trying to lord over us. I'm not trying to lord over you. It's our flock. It's our congregation. And I'd be glad to help help you. But there are certain people that need to have certain things that they need to do to be able to disciple. You got to be faithful. You got to have a good spirit about you. And the idea that you got to be nice to people. You can't be bossy. You can't be gruff. You can't act like Wesley all the time. I'm sorry, Wesley. So discipleship is important. I'm just trying to give you something and a means to help you to be able to help others later or other. Teach others also. So I think it's good. If you want to go through and fill out the rest of the blanks so you can just listen as I'm teaching, great. If you like filling it out as it goes along, even better. But I want to give you an opportunity there with the answers. I am not going to give you, I'll give you the answers another week or two so that way, but the rest of the answers are in the back of the book. So you can just go ahead and fill them out throughout the week if you wanted to. Any questions? Yes, Ms. Shirley.